AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Anyway. The guy at Rep Campbell Volleyball today.
Why not?
I think it's just Campbell Athletics. Yeah. But it's the old school.
You got to get your hair out of the way.
It's very specific that the Campbell camel is a one hump camel, not a two hump camel.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know why they chose that one. Like, I don't know if it was a decision they made or if it's just like that one looks good. And then they were like, oh, it only has one hump. But some camels have two humps and
now nobody can see it.
It's just more comfortable with my hair.
Okay, do whatever you want, man. It's fine. It's your world.
It's fine.
We're just
fine.
Paying rent.
It's fine. Are you paying me?
The rest of us.
Where's the money going?
You still have my $900.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
This article we're talking about from The Athletic, a high school swimmer, really good high school swimmer, who I've worked with in the past, out of the blue, the other day, he sent it to me.
This article?
Yeah, this article on visualization.
Have you already read it?
Yes.
nice.
And he had, that's one of the things we had worked on was how to visualize. And I give the kid credit, like he jumped in, did it.
I think we talked about him once before.
Probably. He set PRs and meets.
Like pretty short time after you guys started doing that process too. Yeah, pretty cool.
Not even had him use it for like standardized test taking, things like that.
Yeah.
So it was cool that he sent that to me. Shout out, Sean. Good work, buddy. But the article was under the banner Peak on The Athletic. It's the visualization tool. Worked for a 14-year NBA veteran. You can try it too. It's,
14 years since he's been out?
Yeah, Harrison Barnes.
Played in North Carolina.
Tar Heel.
If you had asked me how long ago Harrison played, I would have said 6 or 7 years ago. Twice that long.
I get it. It was a little like... And then like a 14-year career is...
Yeah, and
like that's a
and he's not one of those like in your face players, but in this article they call him one of the most durable players in the NBA, which I think is great. Like he was that kind of player at Carolina and clearly still doing that and providing that in the NBA, which is, you know, fun to see.
Yeah, said he played in all 82 games the last 3 years in a row.
Yeah, it's awesome. But as the next line says, that kind of durability doesn't happen by accident.
No, it does not. So the article is written by Joe Boylan, who worked in the NBA for a long time, including with the Warriors when they drafted Harrison Barnes, and now he's a co-founder of Cognition Coach, and he does a lot of this kind of work. And it just talks about Harrison Barnes wanting to improve his rebounding, called him, asked him, can you help me with this? So they set up like a file for him to listen to, very vivid, clear instructions on what he should be visualizing.
I assume it's instructions on what he's trying to be better at, right?
Correct.
It's not just a general visualization exercise like you might find a meditation app.
No.
It is specific to the skill he's trying to perfect.
Yes.
Got
he's
it.
Imagining himself in specific gyms and seeing himself walk out on the court and smelling his teammates' sweat and
very specific.
Which that is the best kind of visualization without a doubt. So it was the file was about 5 minutes and 40 seconds. And, but imagine, you know, see yourself, you know, boxing out or, you know, whatever, specific details about that. And he went on to average, 1.5 rebounds more per game, the next season. And then he referenced, documentary In Search of Greatness, which I had seen before and I rewatched after I read this article. And it has, you know, unbelievable athletes in it, Wayne Gretzky, Pele, Jerry Rice, and talking to them about various aspects of their childhood athletic careers and then on into their professional careers. One of the things that was really interesting, Gretzky talked about, he was like 4 or 5 watching hockey on TV, had pen and paper, and he would just, as he's watching it, draw where the puck was on the ice. And he would do that repeatedly. And no one told him to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where one of the great separators when it comes to greatness is passion. And if someone is just into it on their own,
yeah,
you know, without
on that granular level,
yes,
yeah,
then, you know, he talked about how he'd be at home on a Saturday afternoon, his friends would call, do you want to go to the movies? And he would say no. He wanted to go in the backyard and shoot pucks. His dad would even say, you know, like, you don't want to go to the movies? Like, no, this is what I want to do. And I mean, he was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
That stuff, you can't manufacture it. You either have the passion for whatever it is you're doing or you don't. But I think you can learn to grow that and appreciate it as you, you know, proceed in your journey. But parents and coaches trying to force it, that's a bad plan.
Yep.
So it was just really a fascinating documentary. I highly recommend that. But, you know, we talked, it's not the first time mentioning visualization.
Nope.
And so often when I bring it up, kids just won't do it.
Yeah.
And they think it sounds weird. There's no way that works. Meanwhile, like the best in the world and whatever
all
it
doing
is
it.
From surgeons to pianists to basketball players are doing it. And very vividly and specifically and clear, in very systematic fashion, they do it. They don't just kind of like close their eyes and
give it 20 seconds
and then and it, because it trains your nervous system, like you smooth out your neural pathways. They've done all kinds of studies about how they're like free practice reps, you know. And I don't,
wasn't there some like for every single or every minute of visualization equals like 7 rep. I don't remember what the stat was, but I know you've rattled that off before, which I was like, oh, it's very interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, how do you measure that? I don't know how they measure that.
I don't either. Larry Widman, who in his book Max Out Mindset, that's the first place I read it. He's a great sports psychologist. Highly recommend his books. But he talked in there about for every minute of visualization is a equivalent of 7 minutes of physical practice. Okay. If it's like really clear, vivid, visualizing. And he used it for a health issue he had. I know I've talked about that before, where he had shingles and a nerve in his face was paralyzed. He visualized it healing. He got very specific, found Gray's Anatomy book, saw exactly which nerve it was. And you know, it's not just to help you shoot free throws.
Right.
Like it's to give presentations, you know, whatever it is you're doing, if you can put yourself there and practice it without actually doing it, like, that's a big leg up.
Yeah. When I say in here, the author says, I'd always believed toughness was built through sweat. Then I started to see if it could be built through stillness too. And I think just that stillness, whether it's visual, and we talk about meditation all the time, but stillness in that meditation world or visualization, you know, I think we think that it's got to be, and I tend to be this way too, is like, got to be going all the time. Like, what's, I check the next thing off the list. Now I got to do this on the list. Now I don't forget to do that. And it's, and you're like in this like hyperactive state where nothing that you get done is actually done well. It's just checking a box. And similar to athletes, like, you can't just go play a game and check a box. You got to go pass the ball, and you need to be able to block the shot. Like, whatever the things are in whatever sport you're playing, it's more than just the overarching action of the game. It's the every single moment within it that needs to be executed well. And I think that stillness or visualizing, but I think stillness really is the one where it's like, sometimes I will just sit and instead of staring at my to-do list, I'll just sit and like rattle them off in my head or just remind myself, okay, this is on the to-do list today, but it can be done tomorrow. And just sort of sitting in that stillness of like feeling the feelings and not getting so caught up in the hype of everything can also just sort of like, somewhere in here talks about reps of the nervous system. Like, when your nervous system is more regulated and more slowed and more calm, you execute at a much higher level.
Yeah, and there's a, Jerry Rice actually talks about it in that documentary, this kind of balance between stress and calm, like kind of like a perfect level of intensity. And that is true. Like, if we're just totally calm, we won't be intense enough to compete,
right,
or whatever, perform, whatever it is.
Sure.
But if we're too stressed, then it's not going to go well at all.
Right.
So I think that's where this visualizing helps you see yourself managing these circumstances well. And regardless, whether it's a basketball game or a piano concert.
Sure.
And I think being very specific about how to go about it. I don't know. The people who become great, it's no freaking accident.
No.
Like, you listen to those guys in that documentary talk, there's an edge.
Yeah.
Like, there's an intensity. You know, Wayne Gretzky was like, he doesn't look like a middle linebacker or anything, but he scored like way more points.
Yeah.
Than anybody else in the history of the league. And like, if you take away all his goals, just his assists would be more points than anybody else has scored in total points.
It's impressive.
For a guy who, like, if you saw him walk in the room, he doesn't bowl you over with a physical presence, but that guy had drive and passion and intensity and creativity. And that's the other, like, Jerry Rice and Pele, the same thing. Like, and that's just the way it is. So whatever it is, like, that's a requirement. Like, you have to have a passion for it.
I think that I like when you the word creativity, because when, and you're in sports and you're in fast paced scenarios, and you, for you to be creative on the spot with how to pivot from this, or someone's defending me here, but I only practice that. When you can sit in stillness and imagine those various responses that need to be creative on the spot, allows whatever those synapses, whatever in the brain works, which is, again, it's science above, you know, over my head, but understanding how those things snap together and having practiced it in a slower setting where you execute well creates those pathways for your brain to respond when it's more under pressure. And I think that's one of those things we forget about, is the how dynamic we need to be in sports, in presenting up on stage. If somebody asks a question, it throws you off, so you can get back into your, you know, into the flow of what you were saying, whatever it is. It's being able to practice all of those scenarios in your mind when you are at a peaceful, still state, so that when they happen for real, your body still wants to react in a peaceful, still state.
And it's one of the other things they talked about in that was how important free play was for all of them growing up. and how Jerry Rice didn't even play football until he was a sophomore in high school. And Pele was, you know, just playing, you know, a lot of soccer without his pals. I mean, formally, you know, like formal coaches. And Gretzky, same thing with hockey. And so developing that freedom to just express yourself and play your game. And Gretzky talks about how there were coaches who, one, they'd never seen anybody play hockey like that.
Yeah.
And they wanted to put them in a little box and, you know, this is our system, this is how we're going to play. And I think that's where today, with the overwhelming amount of very structured youth sports, where you get no time to just go play with your friends in the park, and bent games, and everything has got some coach breathing over your shoulder and telling you exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And I think we're hurting ourselves in that sense.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't allow for creativity.
It drives like one type of play. It doesn't drive the freedom to be creative or get in a flow state or figure out how you play best.
Yep.
And I think when you're always in, and you know as a coach, if you're always putting your kids in these structured drills, you know, that's not always the most, you know, attuned way to find, you know, fine tune those skills. And I think it's just one of those situations where, you know, I was reading this, I guess, this little summary of Harrison's visualization recording, the kind of cover through like the generics of it. But it gets so specific as to talk about, and you mentioned this before we started recording, you know, smell the hard work on your teammates, feel the cold water running down your throat as you drink it, hear the heightened noise from the crowd begin to amplify the warmth of your body. I think we forget just how many factors or facets there are into performing well. You know, if during warmups something goes different, like I don't think we realize. And I think doing these visualization drills requires you to actually break it all down and not just view it, like I said earlier, it's just like it's game. There's warmups, there's the game, there's halftime, there's the rest of the game, and then it's over. It breaks down like every little piece that actually impacts your brain and your mind and therefore your body of how you react to these things. So I think we often think about visualization, we've talked about from like the GoPro view of you executing that skill. But what happens before the skill? What happens leading up to it? What happens at breakfast that morning? What happens on the bus on the way there? And just thinking through all of those, because while we can fine tune the skill, if something 3 hours earlier didn't quite go the same, we don't really realize that's what impacted it. It all bleeds together. So I think any function of the bigger picture that we can really narrow down and visualize well and identify is going to be hugely helpful.
Yeah, and it just, like, I remember listening to Dennis Rodman talk about rebounding and how he studied angles of shots and where, you know, they just don't leave anything to chance.
Yep.
And I think that's where visualization is one of those kinds of tools that you can use to get better.
Yep.
And allow yourself to perform to your capability. And it like, I remember I'd been asked to speak, this is a while ago, to a team, and something happened during it that distracted me, and I was kind of not that nice in how I dealt with it. And after it was over, like, I was just kicking myself.
Is this the couch incident?
No.
Oh, another one.
No.
Got it.
So I was like really on my own case for like, I should have anticipated that. I should have worked through that in my mind before starting to speak. But I guess I thought I was going to be so captivating that no one
would
do anything to distract me. Not true. So, even something like that, that's not an athletic performance.
Oh, yeah. Knowing how to bounce back when something throws you off a little bit is
and not
so important.
Reacting, you know, maybe my default mode isn't Mr. Nice Guy or whatever. But I didn't help that person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that person spent the rest of the time thinking like, wow, he's mean. And that was just not okay.
Yeah.
And I needed to be better. So now, like, when I really try to, like, at least make sure that I'm in a state where if somebody says something or does something that could distract me, which used to happen, like, I would be really good when I'm in a flow, but then as soon as something happens, somebody walks in the room or whatever, that really would throw me off.
Yeah.
And I would get mad. You know, I didn't like that.
You gotta respond a little more regulated, you know?
So, yeah. But that requires training, mm-hmm. just like all the rest of this stuff.
Yep.
So I thought it was a really interesting article. Highly recommend the article. Highly recommend the In Search of Greatness documentary.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.